record. So what type of consideration is that? When I was released, like I feel like I was ready to go home many years prior to being released, even before my minimum sentence. But I was released a day before my 39th birthday in 2011. When I was released, I had spent 50% of my life in prison, and I came home with nothing. I had to figure out how to rebuild my life, and that was the hardest thing in the world, to not go back to like negative things and to not give up. While I was doing the time, when I had year 5, year 10, year 12 in, I didn't know whether I was going to ever have, you know, be able to make a better life for myself, whether I was going to have a family, whether I was going to even make it through my incarceration. When I came home, I was luckily able to have a few friends from childhood that put resources in my hand, that gave me a support system. A lot of us don't have that. So that helped me. I got my bachelor's degree, and you know, I started a couple businesses, and I was able to work at Legal Aid as a paralegal. I taught myself law in prison. I helped guys get out. The only reason I was able to have success and to successfully reintegrate in society is because I planned this. Those same people that are not getting fair opportunity at the parole board, they're just like me. I'm no different than them. And if they're given the opportunity, they will have success too. And they come from our communities, black and brown communities.
That's right.
And we want them back in our communities because we feel that they're assets. We're asking for the legislators to pass elder parole and fair and timely parole so that black and brown people that have been incarcerated for many years can get an opportunity to come home to their communities. Thank you.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA Hudson Catskill.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Jaya. I'm 13 years old, and I'm in Florida.
I'm Fatia. I'm 10 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. I'm joined here every week by my good friends, Jada and Fatia. And sometimes we have some other friends, and we love making new friends. So if anyone out there listening is interested, feel free to reach out to me at the library and find out more about what it takes to be a Bound by Books co-host.
Which is not much.
It means talking about books on the radio.
That's awesome.
So that's really what it takes. But yeah, you can stop by the library or reach out to me at info@hudsonarealibrary.org. Love to hear from some of our listeners, our young readers out there. But anyways, we're going to dive in. And I think Jada had something a little different that she wanted to do today.
I'm going to read some quotes that I gathered from everywhere that I like.
Where's everywhere?
Just random places on the internet that said, hey, that looks fun. I like that quote. And then I've kept it.
So mostly on the internet? Or were they also from other sources?
Copyright free, don't worry.
Okay. Do you want to get us started? Share some quotes?
Accessing amazing float archive as we speak.
Accessing archive. Beep, beep, beep.
This one has generally no bookish significance, but I kept it because I thought it was funny. Ladies and gentlemen, if I could have your attention for a moment, I would become a better public speaker. Homer Simpson.
Uh-huh.
And this is good from one Homer. Of my and this is from one of my history classes. Now, incidentally, this is one of the problems of studying German history. Nearly every ruler, especially in Prussia, was either named Frederick William or Frederick William. Come on, history, do something good for us, please. We need it just once.
Lots of repeat names.
And don't get me started on all those French kings who thought they were trying to be original. Come on, we don't need 17 Louis. Really, it's too much. It's excessive. It's overly excessive. And then there are all the Williams and Henrys of British history. You know, it's very tedious. And then you need to remember if it was William the 17th or William the 30th who did something. Also, there is no William the 30th, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are just a couple of quotes that I have.
Cool.
And I found them interesting.
Nice. Thanks for sharing those. If you come up with more that you want to share, feel free to jump in.
Perfect.
Fatia, what did you want to share today?
I wanted to share a book that I wrote.
Oh, great. What kind of book is it?
It's like a medium book. It's not too long. It's not too short. It's called Pure Peace. Once upon a time, there lived a family. They were called the Pure Peace family. But everyone always wondered how they had so much peace. Their family was old. The Peace family started in the 16th century. Then the mom and dad had kids. Then the kids marry and have kids and go on and go on. No one ever remembers or even knows how they have so much peace. Peace like they never argued with anyone. It was so strange. The people who knew I died a long time ago, but the people soon was going to end. But the peace was soon going to end. Meet Lisa. She never had peace. She was in the Peace family. Whenever she would talk to someone, she would yell across the entire room. Not only that, but she had some anger issues, people would say. Lisa was only a 4-year-old girl when her parents died. Lisa was put into adoption. She has been adopted and put back into adoption over and over again. But one day, there was a family who came to adopt a girl for the child named Rosie. They have been looking for a perfect girl to be Rosie's playmate for a very long time. They found several different girls, but none of them were perfect for Rosie. Then they found Lisa. They asked her, "Hello, what is your name?" Lisa replied in an excited voice, My name is Lisa," she said. "Lisa, what a beautiful name. Would you like to be Rosie's playmate? Trust me, she is super nice and kind." "Yes, I want to." "What does that mean? What does that mean? You're going to adopt me?" "Yes, why not?" "Then when they got home, Rosie and Lisa played and played together. Lisa was happier than ever with her new family. The end.
How did you decide to write that story?
Yeah, I was like thinking of what to write because I like to write books. And then I found on this one, the book title Pure Peace, then so I decided why not to make a story like that.
That's great hearing your writing.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thanks for sharing. I wanted to share some news from this week. So earlier this week, the American Library Association announced their Youth Media Awards, and this is their big awards that are given out annually to the best picture books, graphic novels, chapter books, nonfiction books written for young readers by librarians across the country. And so it's a big awards ceremony, and it's always fun to hear all of the honor books that are chosen and the winning books. And I always end up with a huge to read list, as well as there's always books on the list that I read and loved, and I'm excited that they won. But it's always fun to get some new ideas for books that I can read. So I wanted to share some of the winners from that. So I would say the awards that are considered the big three are the Newbery Medal, the Caldecott Medal, and the Michael L. Prince Award. So the Newbery is focused on writing for children. The Caldecott is focused on the illustrations. And the Michael L. Prince Award is recognizing the best book written for teens. And so for those, the winner of the Newbery was The Eyes in the Impossible by Dave Eggers, which was illustrated by Shane Harris. And that was one of my favorite books that I read last year. It's just such a well-written book, and I really enjoyed the characters and how it really dived into their world. It's all told from the perspective of Johannes, who's a free dog who lives in an urban park by the sea, and he's the eyes. So he has to watch over everything that happens and report back on what he sees. But more humans start coming to the park and changes are happening. And so it follows what happens to Johannes and all of his friends and the land where they are. And it's just a beautiful book. I was very happy that that won. So that's exciting. Definitely check it out if you haven't. The Caldecott Medal went to a book called Big by Vashti Harrison, which is a picture book that was lovely. Got that one as well. And both the story and the pictures were great. And the Michael L. Prince Award went to a collection of short stories called The Collectors, which was edited by A.S. King. And I don't read short stories that often, but I'm going to check out this book. And yeah, it's interesting. So this is the first collection of short stories that has ever won this award. And it's also A.S. King winning this award as the editor of the book, the first two-time Michael L. Prince Award winner of all time. So that's cool. I like A.S. King a lot. It's a collection of short stories written by different authors, and they're all about remarkable people and their strange and surprising collections. So that sounds fun. But the authors include M.T. Anderson, E. Charlton Trujillo, A.S. King, David Levithan, Corey McCarthy, Anna Marie McLemore, Jean Neri, Jason Reynolds, Randy Ribe, and Jenny Torres Sanchez. So lots of great authors. Look forward to checking that one out. And then there's a whole bunch of other awards too. I'll highlight some interesting titles, either ones that I'm excited to read or just things I found interesting. One of my favorite categories is the Odyssey Awards, which is an award for audiobooks because I love audiobooks. And I thought it was interesting that both one of the winners and one of the honor books were audiobooks for graphic novels. So they're adaptations of graphic novels into audio format, which I just think is always very interesting, the process of doing that. So one of the winners was El Defo by Cece Bell, which I've read the graphic novel, but have not heard the audiobook. And then one of the honors was Mexikid by Pedro Martin, which I'm reading now as a graphic novel. And it also won a bunch of other honors and maybe awards as well. It won a Newbery honor, and I think it won some Pura Belpre Awards as well. Yeah, it won both the Pura Belpre Award for illustration and for author. It won both of those. So that's cool. It won a lot of awards. And I thought that was interesting, having two of the honored titles be graphic novel adaptations. There was also a book called Chinese Menu by Grace Lin that received an honor for the Odyssey Award. And that is also a heavily illustrated book. So very interesting. Some other winners. The Siebert Medal is an award for nonfiction informational books. And I've read, there were four honor titles and one winner, and I've read three of them. So I read two of the honor books, The Book of Turtles by Cy Montgomery and Jumper by Jessica Lennon. I'm not sure how to pronounce their last name. I loved them both. They were great. And the winner was The Mona Lisa Vanishes by Nicholas Day, which is illustrated by Brett Hellquist, which I just read recently and talked about on the show, and it was a terrific book. As I mentioned, the Pura Belpre Awards, Mexikid won two awards there, both for illustration and author. The young adult winner was Saints of the Household by Ari Tyson, which I've never read, so I'm going to check that one out. Excellence in Nonfiction, this is for more of an older audience. The winner was Accountable, the True Story of a Racist Social Media Account and the Teenagers Whose Lives It Changed by Dashka Slater. And I'm excited to check that one out. I read their book, The 57 Bus, which was really good teen nonfiction title. And so I'm excited to read more from them, especially now that I know it's an award-winning title. And a few others that I have my eye on. There's a book called Res Ball by Byron Graves that both won the William S. Morris Award, which is an award for a debut author, and also won an American Indian Youth Literature Award for YA. And that one sounds really interesting. I'll read the description for that one. So this is for Res Ball by Byron Graves. This compelling debut novel by new talent Byron Graves tells the relatable high-stakes story of a young athlete determined to play like the hero his Ojibwe community needs him to be. These days, Trey Brune is happiest when he is playing basketball on the Red Lake Reservation High School team. Even though he can't help but be constantly gut-punched with memories of his big brother, Jackson, who died in an accident. When Jackson's former teammates on the varsity team offered to take Trey under their wing, he sees this as his shot to represent his Ojibwe Rez all the way to their first state championship. This is the first step towards his dream of playing in the NBA, no matter how much the odds are stacked against him. But stepping into his brother's shoes as a star player means that Trey can't mess up. Not on the court, not at school, and not with his new friend, gamer Kiana, who he is definitely not falling in love with. After decades of Rez teams almost making it, Trey needs to take his team to state, because if he can live up to Jackson's dreams, their story isn't over yet. I thought that sounded really great. I also think it's nice when there are some quality books about sports, because there aren't enough of them for all the sports lovers out there. So I'm excited to check that out. And a couple others that I've got my eyes on. There is the Sydney Taylor Award, the young adult version of that award. The winner was The Blood Years by Alana K. Arnold. And these are books that show the Jewish experience. And this one sounds really good. I'd heard a lot of buzz about it before the awards ceremony for various awards. So I'm going to check it out. This one's meant for teens. I can read the description for this one as well. Friedrich Deitler and her older sister, Astra, live in a house in a city in a world divided. Their father ran out on them when Riki was only six, leaving their mother a wreck and their grandfather as their only stable family. He's done his best to provide for them and shield them from anti-Semitism, but now 7 years later, being a Jew has become increasingly dangerous, even in their beloved home of Czernowitz, long considered a safe haven for Jewish people. And when Astra falls in love and starts pulling away from her, Riki wonders if there's anything in her life she can count on. And if so, if she has the power to hold on to it too. Then war breaks out in Europe. First the Russians, then the Germans invade Czernowitz. Almost overnight, Riki and Astra's world changes, and every day becomes a struggle to keep their grandfather's business, to keep their home, to keep their lives. Riki has long known that she exists in a world defined by those who have power and those who do not. And as those powers close in around her, she must decide whether holding on to her life might mean letting go of everything that has ever mattered to her, and if that's a choice she will even have the chance to make. Based on the true experiences of her grandmother's childhood in Holocaust-era Romania, award-winning author Alana K. Arnold weaves an unforgettable tale of love and loss in the darkest days of the 20th century, and one young woman's will to survive them.
Man, all these history books are always about the most intense times. Why not something that's happy? What about an entire thing where it's only discussing about the rise of spending money and making money and being rich in the United States and not about the depression that comes after it? That's a book I would read. Life in such a happy time. That's what I would read.
There are some historical fiction that are a little bit lighter, I will say.
Historical fiction does not mean evilness. That is not what most of that's not what fiction should be about.
I feel like sometimes it's important, though, to show like people living in challenging times and shows their resilience and their humanity and teaches you a little bit about the history of that time too and the awful things that people can do to one another. But I agree, it's good to read a light, happy historical fiction as well. I can mention a couple other winners. The Stonewall Book Award, they give out a children's and a YA award as well as several honors. And I actually recently read the winner of the children's category, and it was called Cross My Heart and Never Lie by Nora Dasness. And it's a graphic novel, sort of a diary style graphic novel about a 12-year-old who has questions about becoming a teenager and finds stuff confusing. And when she finds that her first crush turns out to be on another girl, it's both feels great and complicated. And so it follows her journey. It's a very nice book. And I tell you, there's so many awards, and I'm only saying a handful of them. Also mention the Coretta Scott King Book Awards. They give out four different kinds of awards. They have the Virginia Hamilton Award for Lifetime Achievement, which went to Christopher Paul Curtis, who has written a lot of historical fiction books for a middle grade audience. They also give out the John Steptoe Award for New Talent, and they give out illustrator awards and author awards. And the one that's most on my radar here is the author award went to a book called Nigeria Jones by Ibi Zoboi. And I'd had my eye on it and then just kind of lost sight of it with all the other books that piled up in front of me. So I definitely want to check this one out. You can read the description for it. Let's see. Warrior Princess. That's what Nigeria Jones's father calls her. He has raised her as part of the movement, a Black separatist group based in Philadelphia. Nigeria is homeschooled and vegan and participates in traditional rituals to connect her and other kids from the group to their ancestors. But when her mother, the perfect matriarch of their movement, disappears, Nigeria's world is upended. She finds herself taking care of her baby brother and stepping into a role she doesn't want. Nigeria's mother had secrets. She wished for a different life for her children, which includes sending her daughter to a private Quaker school outside of their strict group. Despite her father's disapproval, Nigeria attends the school with her cousin, Kamau, and Sage, who used to be a friend. There, she begins to flourish and expand her universe. As Nigeria searches for her mother, she starts to uncover a shocking truth, one that will lead her to question everything she thought she knew about her life and her family. From award-winning author Ibi Zoboi comes a powerful story about discovering who you are in the world and fighting for that person by having the courage to be your own revolution. That's Nigeria Jones by Ibi Zoboi. Sounds really good. And I'll just mention two other books. Oh, there's so many. There's also like the Margaret A. Edwards Award went to Neil Schusterman. He's great. But what did I not mention yet? Oh, the Schneider Family Book Award, which highlights the disability experience. And they have three categories, younger children book, middle grade book, and young adult book. And I thought the young adult book sounded very good. The winner for the young adult category was Forever Is Now by Mariama J. Lockington. Definitely going to check that out. And the last one I will highlight, I say, and then who knows if I'll see something else that I want to highlight, the Asian Pacific American Award for Literature. They give out a picture book category, children's literature and youth literature. and I've read a handful of the honor and winning books, but one that I'm excited to check out is the children's literature winner, Ruby Lost and Found by Christina Lee. I can read the description for that. Thanks to her Ye Ye's epic scavenger hunts, 13-year-old Ruby Chu knows San Francisco like the back of her hand. But after his death, she feels lost, and it seems like everyone, from her best friends to her older sister, is abandoning her. After Ruby gets in major trouble at school, her parents decide she has to spend the summer at a local senior center with her grandmother, Nene, and Nene's friends for company. When a new boy from Ruby's grade, Liam Young, starts showing up too, Ruby's humiliation is complete. But Nene, her friends, and Liam all surprise Ruby. She finds herself working with Liam, who might not be as annoying as he seems, to help save a historic Chinatown bakery that's being priced out of the neighborhood. And alongside Nene, who is keeping a secret that threatens to change everything, Ruby retraces Ye Ye's scavenger hunt maps in an attempt to find a way out of her grief and maybe even find herself. So that's Ruby Lost and Found by Christina Lee. Definitely going to check that one out. But I highly suggest people look up the American Library Association Youth Media Award winners for 2024. It's such a great list of books, whether you're looking for picture books, middle grade books, or teen books, fiction, nonfiction, historical fiction, contemporary, fantasy. There's so many amazing books in this list. But yeah, one of the ones that I also really like, but I won't mention all the winners. They have an award called the Alex Awards, which is for books that are written for an adult audience that are like good crossover books for teens. And I find that you can often find some interesting books in there as an adult reader who also likes young adult books. But yeah, definitely check out all the winners. I'll report back probably next week about Mexikid. I just started reading it the other day, so don't want to talk about it yet, but it's a cool graphic novel that won a bunch of awards. So sounds right up my alley. But yeah, sorry, I took up a lot of time talking about all that. Did either of you have anything else you wanted to share before we go?
Just that there are a lot of books that are coming out that are very good. And I just wanted to say to any people who might be listening who are making really good books, keep up the good work so we can read it all.
Keep it up. We want more, even though we can't read them all. We want so many choices, it's overwhelming in a good way. Is there anything in particular you're most excited for, or just in general, you keep seeing new ones?
Both.
Both. Awesome. Well, on that note, we're going to say goodbye for today, but we thank everyone out there for listening. We hope you have a great week filled with lots of quality reading time, and we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
happy reading.